two stories have come out this week, both of which have the effect of exonerating and vindicating Mr. Rove, not implicating him. So they have attacked Karl Rove on the basis of information which actually vindicates and exonerates him, not implicates him. The information actually exonerates and vindicates. It doesn't implicate. It's wrong. It's outrageous. The information exonerates and vindicates. It does not implicate. And what we should all do is take a breath.
Exonerates, vindicates. It does not implicate. It's good to know the administration is being represented by the late Johnny Cochran. If there ain't no uranium, hit him in the cranium.
Show on Raw Radio. I am once again your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, right here live with you coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC Radio Broadcast Network. What am I saying? IBC Radio Network. We're glad to have you with us. Coming up momentarily, Mr. Jim Marcinkowski. I hope I have got that name finally right. We'll find out shortly. Although I was watching those hearings last night till about 4 a.m., unbelievable, the joint hearings, Senate and House hearings, Democrats only, make that clear. When we say joint, we don't mean both parties, we mean Democrats only. They had hearings, and of course, no one was able to pronounce Jim Marcinkowski's name correctly, so I don't feel quite so bad. Anyway, I'm sure you have some questions for him, so give us a call, 323-650-1286. Yes, you can participate along at bradblog.com, but I can't always read it. And you can try to email me at brad@bradshow.com if you have any questions. Of course, we'd like to hear from you in person because we think you're chicken. Hiding behind the blog. Quick news item here from a couple days ago. GOP candidate calls for impeachment. A congressional candidate who wants to impeach President Bush insists he can win the Republican primary. Dennis Morisseau, 62, of West Paulet. Boy. Anyway, we'll assume I said that right. Plans to seek the Republican nomination to run for U.S. House of Representatives. The seat is being vacated by Representative Bernard Sanders, independent from Vermont, who plans to run for the U.S. Senate. Go Bernie Sanders. We'd like some more independence in the Senate. More? Any. A central part of his platform, Morisseau said, will be bringing articles of impeachment against Bush. Morisseau said he considers himself more of a Republican than the president, and he thinks a lot of Vermont Republicans agree with him. Quote, this leadership isn't very Republican, and I don't think it's very popular with Vermont Republicans, he said. Republicans in this state tend to be mind-your-own-business people. Keep taxes low and government small. Yeah, theoretically, that's what Republicans are supposed to be about. That's what conservatism is supposed to be about. This president, George W. Bush, is anything but conservative. And if you folks out there call yourself a conservative and you voted for George W. Bush or you support George W. Bush, you, my friends, are being played for suckers. All right. This portion of the Brad Show is made possible in part by CrooksandLiars.com. CrooksandLiars.com, the biggest, the baddest, the funniest, and one of the only, and the one and only original video blogger on all of the internets. Missed the Daily Show last night? CrooksandLiars.com will have the best clips for you each and every morning. Miss O'Reilly acting like a complete jerk? CNN getting the story wrong yet again? Yep, Crooks and Liars will have it, along with all of your favorite congressmen making complete jackasses of themselves. They never run out of material. Crooksandliars.com is your one-stop source for audio, video, and some damn fine satire, says me. And yes, they even link to the Brad blog from time to time, so they can't be half bad. There's a reason that Air America, Daily Coast, Raw Story, Huffington Post, Atrios, Wonkette, Washington Post, and yes, even the Brad blog are linking up to crooksandliars.com every damn day, making them one of the fastest growing blogs on all of the internets. Check out my friend John Amato, working hard, the original video blogger, at his terrific blog, www.crooksandliars.com, where seeing is believing for well over 54,000 unique visitors a day and counting. All right. For those of you folks like me who stayed up till 4 a.m. to watch C-SPAN, or The Span, as Randy Rhodes likes to call it, boy, Jim Marcinkowski was unbelievable at those hearings. Well, we'll get to that. Former U.S. intelligence officer Jim Marcinkowski served his country in the intelligence community for several decades in both the FBI and as a CIA case officer. He is also an attorney and a prosecutor. He has, as well, he has served in the United States Navy. Mr. Marcinkowski underwent CIA training with Valerie Plame. I've heard of her. What does she do for a living? She is, of course, a CIA undercover operative wrongfully outed in the run-up to war in 2003. Mr. Marcinkowski gave remarkable testimony yesterday at the joint Democratic House and Senate hearings on the Karl Rove Treasongate affair. Or Tradergate, take your pick, and is kind enough to join us tonight on The Brad Show to discuss that testimony, his concerns about the outing of a covert CIA agent, and what can only be seen as a dangerous politicization of our nation's crucial intelligence assets during a time of war. Welcome, sir, to The Brad Show.
Brad, glad to be able to join you and express my concerns.
Boy, I'm glad you're able to join us and express your concerns, and I'm glad you've been willing to, and I'm glad you were able to do so yesterday at those hearings. You gave some extraordinary testimony, and for folks who haven't seen it, they you know, should go to cspan.org and check out the hearings, because they're all available there as well. Bradblog.com, we posted some of your testimony right after you had given it. It was extraordinary, and let's hit just a couple of those things that you had to say. You mentioned each time the leader of a political party opens his mouth in public to deflect responsibility, the word overseas is loud and clear. Politics in this country does indeed trump national security. How does that work? What do you mean by that? And how does it hurt our national security for this administration to deflect responsibility?
Well, the fact of the matter is the CIA runs foreign assets or foreign agents to collect intelligence on behalf of the United States. That obviously provides information that protects the population against terrorism and other threats against the country. Now, the problem with what's going on right now, especially in the media and especially with the Republican National Committee, is they continuously try to downplay what occurred with the exposure of Valerie Plame. And this was an unprecedented act in the history of the intelligence community that the White House identified as undercover CIA officer. Now, the message that's being sent when you do that is we don't care about that security. It's not a concern of ours, and we're not going to do anything about it. Then you have the talking points from the Republican National Committee that comes out and continues to downplay the importance of what occurred. And to me, that puts our CIA officers in jeopardy, and it puts our agents that are working on behalf of the CIA in jeopardy.
I want to get some specifics from you on how that works and how things change on the ground. But you mentioned that this is unprecedented, and this came up over and over again during the hearings, but I think it needs to be heard. CIA assets have been outed before. They've lost their cover before, correct?
Correct. Yes.
But
yes, they have.
But have we ever had a case where they have actually been outed by someone in our own government at such a high level? Has that ever happened?
That has never happened, and it's really easy to understand. Everybody knows that the local police department may run undercover police officers. What happened in this case is not that the police officer screwed up somehow and revealed him or herself. What happened here, in the case of the undercover officer that was exposed, is like the chief of police going to the media and telling them who the undercover officer is. That's what's outrageous about this. The person has no chance to defend themselves. The example is this. If you're operating as a CIA officer overseas, you have the ability to, if you're accused of being the CIA person, you have the ability and you have the opportunity to defend yourself. And that has to do with your personal skills in being able to deny the fact that you work for the CIA. When it comes out of the White House, there's no way you can refute that. How are you going to defend yourself against a statement made by a senior official in the White House? You see, you all of a sudden, you're standing there naked with no defense possible. And that's what's truly outrageous here. So individual officers may have been exposed before based on espionage operations, counterintelligence operations, those kinds of things. That's expected. But coming from the White House, this is totally unprecedented, totally outrageous.
I guess it can't be repeated enough that George W. Bush's own father in 1999 at a speech to the CIA, the CIA building named after him, said, "Even though I'm a tranquil guy now at this stage in my life, I have nothing but contempt and anger for those who betray the trust by exposing the name of our sources. They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors." That was the president's own father who said that. And, it's just hard to imagine that these guys would be downplaying this right now the way that they are, that they're saying, oh, she wasn't really covert. By the time this came out, everyone knew she had a desk job at Langley. You want to speak about that at all?
Oh, sure. Number one, obviously the apple did fall far from the tree, maybe rolled down a hill in this particular case, because there's such a contrast here. Obviously, Bush Sr. knew what he was talking about and perhaps wasn't thinking along the lines of partisan politics. This president in this White House has interjected partisan politics in this thing, and it's a clear indicator that it's about politics, it's about partisanship, it's about power, and it's not about this country. It can't be. It can't be. It's just a matter of them trying to maintain their own positions. And to me, that's just totally unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Now, you're certainly not new to this discussion. I've only recently heard about you, but in learning about you a little bit, I see that you were on this beat back in October of 2003, I guess, right after, not long after she had been outed by Bob Novak. And you said that the U.S. government has never, this was in the Financial Times, the U.S. government has never before released the name of a clandestine officer. My classmates and I have been betrayed. Is that how you feel about this, that this is a betrayal?
Absolutely betrayed, and I'll tell you exactly why. Of the members of our class, and it was a pretty good, it was more than two or three dozen, we all started at the CIA at the same time. Many of us, like myself, left the CIA sometime between the time, obviously, we started and now. Roughly half have left, maybe a little bit more. And the point is this. Whether we were still in the agency, and I still have colleagues in the agency in my class, or whether we're outside of the agency, we know who the CIA people are. And for almost, well, it has been 20 years now, whether we were inside or outside, we never gave up that secret. We never gave up the identity of our colleague, even though we're now no longer associated with the intelligence community. That's how we were betrayed. We held that secret for 20 years, outside the agency. And to have the government turn around and release that information that we held close because we know it's a matter of personal safety, that was a betrayal. That's unforgivable.
Not just the government, but the highest level of government.
Correct.
And you had said some, well, I'll let you repeat it here, but you spoke about what ought to be done and the difference between George Bush's move the goalpost. A few months ago he was saying, or whenever it was, that he initially began talking about this, that if anyone in my administration leaked, they would be fired. Well, that this week became, if anyone is convicted of a criminal charge, then they'll be fired.
And you
spoke about the difference between the bar for criminal charges and the difference that you have administratively as at police departments and so forth when information is leaked. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Sure. I've been in government service for more than 30 years now. And during that whole time, I always thought that the standard of conduct for government officials was a high ethical standard. You know, in my estimation, the president has just lowered that standard down to a criminal standard. Now, you can work for the United States government in whatever capacity as long as you haven't been convicted of breaking the law. That's truly outrageous. We cannot have laws that govern ethical behavior because it's so widespread. It's how you operate on a daily basis. You can't possibly have a law that says, okay, he's unethical. But you certainly know what that behavior is. You certainly know what right or wrong is. And you should be bright enough, if you're a senior government official, to recognize the harm that you can do by spreading information that shouldn't be spread. It's as simple as that. So to say that now we're going to wait and we're going to see what the special prosecutor is going to do, we're going to wait and then see if anybody's convicted, again, that's sending the message around the world that the bar has been lowered, that even though we know who may have done this inside the White House, you know what, we don't care. We're just going to wait around for the criminal charges, and whatever happens with our agents and their concern for security, forget it. We don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you had talked about, and this is true, if there is a questionable behavior, let's say in a tiny local police department, if they've done something possibly corrupt, no crimes have been, nobody's been convicted yet of a crime, what do? They place them on administrative leave until the matter can be sorted out. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And I've worked with police forces for the longest time. That's absolutely correct. Anytime there's a discharge of a weapon, for example, they're going to take the officer, put him on a desk job, or put him on administrative leave until they find out and rule on the justification of the use of force. That's a very simple thing, and they could have done that in this case. All the people in the White House who are responsible for this could be sitting in their Georgetown apartments and sipping coffee and staying there all day while we kind of sort this out. Now, that would have sent the right message around the world to say, we don't tolerate the outing of an agent. We take their security as very, very important to their survival. And if there's criminal charges, that's fine. And anybody else associated with it that's maybe short of a criminal intent, we're going to deal with that too. And we're going to hold them to a standard of either being negligent, having a reckless disregard, or just plain ignorance, which means they shouldn't be in government to begin with.
Can you tell us, what is a knock? Can you give us the exact definition, N-O-C, knock?
A knock. Knock means that the person is non-official cover. The example for a knock, which is probably one of the most dangerous jobs in the agency, that's a person that will go overseas, and they will not have the official cover of the government. Hence, they call it non-official cover, meaning that I may go overseas in an official capacity representing some government agency, maybe Defense Department, maybe State Department, whatever. But a non-official cover officer is a little bit different. They're going to go over with a plain old U.S. passport, and they're not going to be protected by any government, intergovernmental treaty, things of that nature. So the point is, if they're caught conducting espionage in a country, they're not going to have any protections that would be offered to a diplomat, and they would be subjected to the laws of that country. They don't have immunity. They don't get the get-out-of-jail-free card, which means, in many cases, and I don't know of any country that permits espionage in their country, some countries kill people for committing espionage in their country. So their security is the highest level and has to be protected.
The highest level. This is the most dangerous of jobs for a CIA agent. Am I correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Now, do we know for a fact that Valerie Wilson was a knock, or are you allowed to say?
I understand that that was the case. Let me just put it that way.
All right.
That's my information, that she probably was.
Okay, and so it wasn't that she had a desk job, she was a paper pusher, as we've heard from the talking points.
The paper pusher thing is in my mind, really, it's an egregious attack on this fine lady. Paper pushers. You know, because you're a knock doesn't mean you can't go into Langley. Everybody in the agency has some kind of a cover, whether it's a knock or otherwise. And they come and go out of the agency all the time. It doesn't matter because they are protected. There's other government officials that go in and out of the agency all the time. So you don't know just because somebody walks into the agency, you don't know what they're doing. And in the most part, who knows who's coming and going? So the bottom line is this. There may be deep cover officers that, in fact, are at the agency. They may be posted overseas for a period of 5 or 10 years. And at the end of that posting, they'll come back into the headquarters facility, work for a while, and perhaps go out in another undercover capacity. So the fact that you're coming in and out of the agency is of no significance whatsoever for purposes of classifying someone.
Yeah, they're just, it's despicable what they're doing and how they're attempting to smear her to save themselves. We're speaking with Jim Marcinkowski, a former CIA case officer. We're going to have a lot more. Give us a call, 323-650-1286. You're listening. Hang in there, Jim. You're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
If you're one of the millions of Americans losing their hair, chances are you've heard of Avacor. You've heard that Avacor has helped thousands of people just like you successfully regrow their hair. So why haven't you called? We know there's a lot of confusing information about treatments for baldness, but you can be assured that Avacor really works. We're permitted to say that on the air because our clinical studies and claims of success have been independently reviewed and proven true. That's right. Avacor is a proven three-step system that helps people regrow their hair every day, even people that started losing their hair years ago. We also understand that choosing the correct treatment for hair loss is an important decision. Avacor makes it easy. Avacor comes with a one-year money-back guarantee. Think about it. We can help you.
To order Avacor, call 800-724-8491. That's 800-724-8491. Avacor. Call 800-724-8491.
The future of radio. The IBC Radio Network.
You need advertising. Without it, no one will hear about your business. Radio is the way to go. Advertising on radio is much more affordable than newspapers, magazines, or television. Advertise your website, product, or service to intelligent, savvy, and moneyed listeners of a 24/7 talk radio network. The IBC Radio Network is the way to go. For more information, call 509-466-3413. That's 509-466-3413. The IBC Radio Network, the future of radio.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Are you sick of the same old business talk shows? Are you tired of hearing all the ranting and raving about the Microsofts of this world? Shows macro-biased and mega-dominated and get all excited when a stock moves up 5%. Boring. Then check out Stock Talk Live, a special business radio talk show on the air each and every stock market day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stock Talk Live has unique business content not found anywhere else. The subject is penny stocks, and they're often overlooked huge profit opportunities. Gains of 100, 200, and 1,000% or more happen from time to time with penny stocks. And Stock Talk Live is here to show you the way. In English, this means big money, fast money, real profit opportunities not found anywhere else. Forget about those silly infomercials that promise quick riches. Learn how to make real money all by yourself. Tune in to Stock Talk Live on the web at stocktalklive.net. Stock Talk Live is owned and operated by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, ticker symbol IBCS.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't realize
George W. Bush would be telling us
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
Because I say this as a currently registered Republican, I wish there was a Republican of some courage and conviction that would stand up and call the ugly dog that it is. But instead, you know, I watched last night John McCain on Chris Matthews' Hardball making excuses, being an apologist. Where are these men and women over there with any integrity to stand up and speak out against this? I expect better behavior out of Republicans.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Oh yeah, we're back on the Brad Show. I'm Brad Friedman with Jim Marcinkowski, former CIA case officer. That was a little Secret Agent Man music. Oh, I wish what this really was a movie, but it ain't. It's a real-world situation. And the White House, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, who knows, John Bolton, seem to have given away the identity of Valerie Plame Wilson, ANOC, which is the highest level of the deepest security, I guess we could say, for a CIA agent, an unprecedented leak, unprecedented outing of a CIA agent by the White House. Before that music, that was Larry Johnson, who also testified yesterday. He's apparently a registered Republican, voted for George Bush, I guess, back in 2000. What do you say to those critics that I'm sure you'll be hearing from, Mr. Marcinkowski, who say, oh, you're just a liberal Democrat trying to destroy the president?
Well, first of all, that's just not true, because it has nothing to do with partisan politics. Let me give a little more background. When I was in college, I, in fact, ran the College Republican Federation in the state of Michigan. I was the state chairman of that organization. I also ran the Reagan campaign on the campus of Michigan State University. I also ran for state representative as a Republican in the mid-90s. So I don't have any Democrat credentials. I do, however, have a long history of American credentials and patriotic credentials that I'm very proud of. And that's what we're talking about here. It's not politics, not partisanship. We're talking about the future of this country. In this war on terror, we ultimately are talking about the protection and the safety of the American people, period.
How do you explain that people in America, or at least at the last election, it has been suggested that people voted for George Bush because they felt he was strong on national security? Do you think that's changing? Do you think people understand that what he did here, what he is still doing, this cover-up apparently, are the American people getting it yet?
I think that may be happening slowly. But when you look at the impact of the various media, so-called experts in intelligence, the points and the counterpoints, those things coming up, it's a really hard thing to fight off, to try to keep it out of the a partisan arena. So are they getting it? I hope that they are. I see perhaps little indicators around the country that people are starting to get it, because it's not complicated yet. There's so many media outlets and commentators that are prepared to repeat the half-truths and the spin and the semantics coming out of not only the White House, but obviously the Republican National Committee. That's disheartening, but I think there's hope. We cannot give up hope here. This is way too important to give up hope.
Well, we ain't giving up hope, and we're fighting for it every day. When you were up on Capitol Hill there yesterday, did you get to talk to, I know there was zero Republicans, as far as I understand, who bothered to come to those hearings yesterday. Did you get the chance to talk to any of them, or have you gotten the chance to talk to any Republicans, House or Senate, about what the hell is going on here?
They are obviously disinterested, and probably for the same reason. Look, you go against this White House, and they will try to destroy you. That's what precipitated this whole incident. When Joe Wilson called the White House on an important issue and said, this is not true, they went at him, reached down into the working level of the agency, and since they couldn't get him because he had a distinguished career, they tried to money him up by saying, well, you know, it's just his wife, and this is all politics, and she's in the CIA. And that's the way they try to destroy these people. And that's the dangerous part. And I am quite certain that there are Republicans out there in their heart of hearts understand and know what's going on here, but they can't find it in them to step up and say something about it. To me, that's really weak. That is just weak. And unbelievable.
Yeah. I agree. Let me ask you, what's worse here, the outing of an agent or the subsequent apparent cover-up that's going on by the White House? What sends the worst message to folks overseas, possible assets, and how does all of this specifically affect them on the ground? If you're a knock and you're out there trying to find new sources, how does this affect them?
Well, the first thing you have is the unprecedented breach of trust by the initial event of outing the agent. That sends out the signal, number one, that you don't care, and that, you know, the identity, the protection, the cover of a CIA officer all of a sudden got thrown into the partisan arena where we don't care and it's all now partisan politics. That was number one. That was the message that went out, that we're playing with this now. Now, subsequent to that, in all the folks that are trying to somehow say this is no big deal or trying to put out the other minutiae to deflect responsibility or deflect the attention away from the initial incident, they're continuing to damage the national security because people around the world, this is a global internet, people around the world get information. They're smart people. They follow what's going on in the United States because we are the world's power. Trust me, they watch this every day. So the message that we're sending was, number one, at the breach, that we don't care and that we're playing politics. But number two, we're going to continue to do nothing, meaning that we're not taking this as a big deal. So every day, every single day that this government does nothing, we suffer greater damage to our national security. There's no question about it. Each day the White House hides behind the special prosecutor, they're causing damage. Each day the president fails to take any responsibility, he's damaging national security. You can go right down the list. Each day the Republican Senate fails to issue subpoenas, or the Republican House fails to issue subpoenas. Each and every day, this thing is being compounded on a daily basis, and it's resulting in a loss of intelligence. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, and when you say loss of intelligence, we're talking about somebody like Valerie Plame, and we don't know if she actually did this or not, but someone like her might travel overseas, and their job is to, recruit agents, folks from other countries who are willing to help spy for the CIA. They hear a story like this. They hear that the United States has just given up an asset, hasn't protected them. They would, I assume, then be less likely to be willing to do something as dangerous as that. Is that correct? Is that the real-world application of all of this?
That is absolutely the real-world application. You know, when you're recruiting an agent overseas, a lot of times you can convince them of the right and wrong of any situation, and you can see, and you have to convince them that, in fact, we need the information, and the information is going to be used in a positive way to help them and the United States, which have mutual concerns in their country. So that the first thing you're going to do in the recruitment scenario is to say what important information that can be shared, and both sides are going to be helped out. But I'll tell you what happens is the first thing the agent says is, you know, I agree. Okay, I understand that if I supply you this information, it's going to benefit both of us. However, if I get caught, they will kill me. So the very first thing you do is you have to guarantee their protection. And here's the thing. If you're going to sit there and convince this agent that you can protect them, and you can be successful at doing that, this Valerie Plame incident took it to the next level. In the response, when you try to tell this agent that you can ensure their personal security, the first thing that agent or potential agent is going to tell you is like, okay, fine, maybe you can protect me, but your government is not going to protect you. And if you're exposed, I'm exposed. Because these recruitments don't happen in a vacuum. You don't recruit an agent and never have meetings or social contacts and those kinds of things.
Yep.
You're conducting an assessment. So you are in known contact with this person you're trying to recruit. So if they know who you are, they know who he is now, you see? So the point is, that's how the damage gets created. If either the agent or the CIA officer is exposed, then the corresponding party is exposed as well. And that's the danger.
One of the things, one of the reasons that I've heard that Prosecutor Fitzgerald is so doggedly pursuing all of this and throwing Judith Miller into jail and so forth, not that anyone needs a reason to do that, but is because there has been rumors that, in fact, since Valerie Plame was outed, that, in fact, there has been real-world consequences to that, and that perhaps people were killed and so forth once she and her company, or her phony CIA front company, Brewster Jennings, was exposed. Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard basically the same thing that you have. But let's back it up and go to the basic proposition here. If an officer is going overseas in a cover capacity and they're conducting operations overseas, they're conducting operations undercover for a reason. that reason has to be that the person that they're meeting with or the information is getting is falling somewhere under an espionage law or someone's risking their life. Otherwise, why don't we just send somebody overseas, hey, I'm the CIA, and here I am, and give me the information. The fact that the CIA used the technique with Valerie Plame overseas indicates there are some dangers, and there were some dangers if she was exposed. Otherwise, why go through all the mechanisms of using this cover, you see?
All right, real quick.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Real quick question, because we're going to have to get out here, and then we'll have one more segment from Jim Marcinkowski and Bob from Philadelphia. Hang on there. We're going to be with you. We can't get to you until after the break, though, so please hang in if you can, Bob, because I want to get this question. There was a report yesterday that the CIA director, George Tenet, was furious about this outing. So I guess I'm going to ask you, and we can talk about politicization after this break. We'll have just a few more minutes. But where the hell is George Tenet?
You know, he did fall off the radar in a really big way. Obviously, Joe Wilson learned his lesson by tangling with his White House. I'm not so certain that Tenet had it left in him to really take a stand now that he's out of the agency. People are afraid to take on this White House. There's no question about it.
Thank you for not being afraid. All right, we're going to be back with a few more minutes with Jim Marcinkowski. Man, do I wish we had you on every week. I got so much to ask you. Anyway, you're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio. We're back.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
Paul Booth, Ed Balkley, John Carpenter, Kevin Clement, Roger Corman, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Guillermo del Toro, Mick Garris, Lou Gentili, Stuart Gordon, Sid Haig, Toby Hooper, Lloyd Kaufman, Alfredo Leon, Lucky McKee, Robert Parigi, George Romero, Eli Roth, Tom Savini, David J. Scal, Mike Varani, Joe Wolfe, Rob Zombie. These are the people on the creative advisory board of the Horror Channel. Are you a horror fan? Coming soon, the only 24-hour cable and satellite network dedicated to horror fans around the world. For more information, visit their website at www.horrorchannel.com. That's www.horrorchannel.com. Please call your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street. But high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed, all-talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour-long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentili Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentili is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your hometown.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your hometown.
Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. You can learn more about these products by calling 1-866-543-3388.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
And took a cabbage into town. She slipped in through the side door, looking like a queen without a crown. She fluttered her false eyelashes and whispered in his ear, "Sorry, darling, that I'm late," but he didn't seem to hear. He was staring into space. Big Jim was thinking to himself, maybe down in Mexico or a picture up on somebody's shelf. But then the crowd began to stamp the feet and the house lights did dim. And in the darkness of the room there was only Jim and him, staring at the butterfly who just drew the jackpot.
Joe Wilson misled the public about who sent him to Niger. Second, he misled the public about what he found. He misled the public about who revealed his materials and what he saw when he was over there. He misled the public about the documents that he didn't review.
Using the West Wing of the White House to be engaged in a smear campaign is an outrageous abuse of power.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
Oh yeah, the walls are tumbling down for these guys. These bad guys, frankly, who are running this White House and putting this country at risk. We're speaking with Jim Marcinkowski, our last few minutes here, former CIA case officer on the Valerie Plame Wilson outing, and how this has been a breach to our national security. We've got just a few minutes here left, Jim, so let me see if we can fly through a whole bunch. Let's take a phone call. Bob from okay. Philadelphia on line six. You have a question for Mr. Marcinkowski.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Brad, great show. I've been reading your blog for some time now. The first time I've tuned into your show, though, so I'm enjoying that.
Well, welcome, and thank you.
Yes, I wanted to ask the agent there. I'm sorry, the name is a little difficult for you, Mark. but anyway.
Just call him Jim.
Jim, yeah. Jim, I wanted to ask you, I appreciate your work with, you know, the plane work, but I'm thinking one of the bigger, issues of the day is still 9/11, and, I'm not sure if you know, but in Washington today they had Miss Representative Miss McKinney had a meeting for 1 year from the release of the 9/11 Commission's report, I believe, anniversary date there. The issue of the day really is 9/11, and and it will be, I think, for some time because everything we're talking about here.
I hate to cut you short here, Bob, but we're running short on time. Do you have a specific question for Jim on that matter?
Yeah, two questions. Yeah. One is, how's the morale at the CIA, knowing that they were really blamed on a lot of the intelligence failures leading up to 9/11? And two is, what is your take on WTC-7 falling at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and obviously a controlled implosion?
Thanks for the call, Bob. I'm sorry to have to run quickly here.
No, thank you.
You bet. Jim, any thoughts on that?
Well, on 9/11, obviously there was a lot of information that the FBI actually ended up having as far as the terrorists and hijackers being here within the United States. Obviously there was a wall that was built up from Watergate that didn't allow for the easy exchange of information between the CIA and the FBI. Morale, and those problems, I think, are trying to be addressed right now. I don't know if they're going to be ultimately successful or not, but obviously The issue was there, and we're trying to correct the situation. So morale in the agency, the agency has lost a lot of its stature, I think, in the intelligence community now that there's another agency that oversees the agency, the National Intelligence Director. Now, in many ways, is going to determine what the agency is going to do from now on. So the agency is now a sub-agency for all intents and purposes, and they're not standing independently like they used to.
Boy, I know folks are going to kill me for moving past that 9/11 stuff so quickly, but we have to, given our amount of time. You said in your testimony, damage has been done, and we've done nothing to fix it. I realize we only got a minute here, but how do we fix it?
Well, we need to send a different message. We need to get whoever did this out of the White House right now. They need to accept responsibility for what they did, refill those positions, put new people in there, and move forward. That's the only way they're going to fix this thing. And if the special prosecutor indicts people later on, so be it. But the important message that has to go out right now, we're taking it seriously, and we're taking the following actions. These people are leaving. Goodbye.
Have you heard from Meet the Press and Hardball? Slicer asks on the open thread of bradblog.com. Have you heard from those guys to discuss this on the show?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Nope, not at all.
Unbelievable. Well, maybe not anymore. Louise Slaughter yesterday said that the leak was treason at best, abuse of power at worst. You got a thought on that? Treason or abuse of power?
You know, the treason word gets thrown out there. I'm not going to go down that avenue, but I'll tell you what. This whole episode has shown and revealed some other talking heads for what they are, talking heads. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I see things like Ann Coulter having the gall to write a book on treason, and at the same time being one of the chief apologists for this administration, when she can't even recognize the precursors of treason, then there's a real big problem, and she's totally discredited at this point.
Thank you, Jim. I'm sorry, I got to run. Hope to have you back soon. Maxine Waters next. Brad on.